I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Woo! Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is, for anybody out there, an independent thinker, those who aspire to be, somebody who sees through the partisan ridiculousness, the propaganda out there. This is a safe space for you. Appreciate you joining me. Next hour, it's Wednesday, so we will do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Lots of stuff to cover there, particularly about one quick, easy thing. They're doing more and more studies. One quick, easy thing you can do to change your health, and it is within everybody's reach. I try to do some simple ones, too. Trying to lead people to reclaiming their health is not always an easy thing. I try to find the simplest things you can do. And there certainly is one easy one that I think you'll see benefits from pretty quickly. So we'll get to that next hour. I'm going to start off today with a little bit of financial news. I'll start with a quote of the day. Henry Ford, we've referenced this quote before, but I'll read it verbatim. Henry Ford said, quote, "It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." I'll read that again. Henry Ford said, probably close to a century ago, he said, "It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." Well, the revolution starts here. I've been trying to explain the monetary system to you for 4 years now. Dry stuff about the Federal Reserve. Sean Hannity doesn't talk about it. Rush Limbaugh never talked about the Federal Reserve. Why do you do it? Tell us what Maxine Waters said. Tell us about an AOC tweet. But the really important stuff is the stuff going on behind the scenes, and that's going to lead me into our stories. After closing the books on the second quarter, executives are the most positive they have been about the profits their companies are generating, according to data from FactSet. And that might be a good sign that bottom line growth will continue even after the expected rebound from the pandemic economic plunge. Companies began reporting their second quarter profits this week. Things really kick off tomorrow when Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, and PepsiCo publish their earnings before the next market opens. The big banks in particular are likely to reveal bumper profits. So this is today. I hate to keep doing this, but I'm going to read this again. Things really, because this leads into my next story. Well, next two stories here. Things really kick off today when Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and PepsiCo publish their earnings before the market opens. The big banks in particular are likely to reveal bumper profits. And one of the reasons the banks are going to be reporting bumper profits while small business owners continue to suffer, well, a lot of us are seeing supply chain disruptions in our businesses. You're seeing increased costs. We're seeing a labor market that is having a tough time in the small business community. But the Federal Reserve is going to keep going. This is just so funny. I'm going to tell you a little secret here, that something the Federal Reserve and the Fed chair won't tell you. Fed Chair Powell's prepared remarks ahead of his testimony before the House Financial Services Committee today at noon have been released, and they served as rocket fuel to the S&P futures, which surged to a new all-time high after the central bank head said that, quote, "Monetary policy will continue to deliver powerful support to the economy until the recovery is complete," which apparently won't be for a long time as the jobs market is still, quote, "a ways off," unquote, from the, quote, "substantial further progress," unquote, needed to begin bond buying taper. What this means is, what this all is, the Federal Reserve is just a heaping helping of word salad every time they talk. You have to learn Fed speak. And what Fed speak is we're going to keep printing money until everything is perfect. The problem is that if you remember, a lot of people, Trump himself and Trump supporters and the people on CNBC and all of the financial heads, remember when they're talking about how great the economy was before COVID? Trump said, best economy in the history of the world. The Federal Reserve was printing massive amounts of money into that economy. Why didn't, if the economy was so great at that time, why did the Federal Reserve have to prop it up? It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. See, the Federal Reserve has been printing money for forever, but they really started after the 2008 crisis. And then we got through the crisis in about 2 or 3 years, but they kept printing. It was really odd, wasn't it? And then when they would slow down printing money, the markets would start to tank. So what would they do? They'd start printing more money. They did QE1, QE2, QE3, Operation Twist, QE4, and now we're in QE Infinity. QE standing for quantitative easing, which is just, again, Fed speak, word salad for money printing. And I make this point all the time. Nobody has a good answer for it because people just love to find their political or their political party heroes. And so I ask anybody who says that Trump created the greatest economy of all time, I ask, why did the central bank have to constantly pump money into that economy? If it was so self-sustaining, if it was doing so well, why was the Fed propping it up? The Trump economy, just like all of them, particularly since the crisis, the rebound that Barack Obama had in the economy, if you look at any charts, there was a big economic rebound during the Obama administration. Do you give him credit for that? Of course not. It's like a very, very sickly athlete being juiced up with all kinds of steroids and performance-enhancing drugs just to get it across the finish line. That's what the Federal Reserve is. It's the drug dealer for the junkie that is our economy. Well, the Fed says it's going to... The market's up right now because the Fed made... And again, in their Fed speak word salad, they basically said, we're not going to stop printing money anytime soon. And the market just loved that. Because as Henry Ford said, if people understood the monetary system, there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. The Federal Reserve is just flooding money into these giant corporations. Are you feeling the effects of it? You are, but not in the ways the banks are. The banks are going to set for bumper profits. I believe that was the phrase. For you, it's bumper prices. See how that works? Addressing soaring prices, Powell sticks to the party line that, quote, inflation is being temporarily boosted by base effects as the sharp pandemic-related price declines from last spring drop out of the 12-month calculation. Although he doesn't address why 2022 inflation forecasts are also rising. See, he's lying to you. He knows inflation is here to stay. That's what happens when you print money for 13 years every single day. But the dirty little secret is, and what the Fed head and what the talking heads on CNBC and the people who want to, now the Democrats talking, I mean, Joe Biden is going out claiming credit for creating 3 million jobs. The thing is that I'm consistent. I find it disgusting that Joe Biden prances around acting like he's creating any jobs with his completely horrible policies regarding the economy and taxation and everything. But I also found it equally repugnant when Donald Trump went around in 2020 saying they're creating jobs at the fastest pace in the history of the world after the pandemic. They shut everything down and people start to go back to work in states that reopen, and Trump took credit for creating those jobs. I'm consistent. That bothers a lot of people. I'm supposed to only criticize Joe Biden. But the dirty little secret from the Federal Reserve is they can never stop printing money. Never. For the past 13 years, they always find an excuse why now is not quite the right time. Even when we had 3.5%, this is the bogus statistic they give us, 3.5% unemployment, they still, for some strange reason, couldn't stop buying bonds and printing up money and shoving it into the economy. Isn't that odd? Because he's telling us here that they can't stop now because the recovery is not complete. But if the recovery wasn't complete during Trump's term when they were reporting 3.5% unemployment. When the hell does it get complete? This is like COVID. We got to get cases down to zero before we stop all the masking and vaccinations and social distancing and abusing our children. It's got to be zero. I guess that's the Fed. Every single American's got to have a job or we got to keep printing money. They are never going to stop printing money. They can't. They now have got us so addicted to this monetary heroin that to come off of it now would be fatal. Actually, not fatal. It would be the worst detox, withdrawal, dry heaves economy in the history of the world. But eventually we'd recover. But every single day, week, month, year, and decade that they continue to do this, it makes the withdrawal that much harder and that much worse. But they can't stop it. Because as soon as they stop it, they're going to have to admit to the creature that they have created, to the disaster that they themselves have created. Henry Ford, it is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. You people out there, screaming at your neighbor because he's got a Trump sign in his yard. You think you're making a difference? It's almost cute to watch people go after each other on Twitter, to scream at a stranger on Twitter on behalf of a politician who's just pandering to you. They don't care about you. It's almost cute to watch that while the banks have bumper profits. And here's another little nice juicy nugget. BlackRock, been talking about them a lot lately. They own the Joe Biden administration, but they own every administration. Joe Biden's got a lot of BlackRock in his administration. But while you pay, I had to pay $2 today to put air in one car tire. $2 for air. I had to pay $1.50 yesterday. I looked at my bank statement. I think they charged me tax on that. My charge was for $1.60. While you pay all of these exorbitant prices, while you suffer through the shortages, the supply disruptions, increased cost of travel, increased cost of cars, while you suffer through all of those things, BlackRock assets under management rose 30% to $9.5 trillion from $7.3 trillion a year earlier, cementing its dominance as the world's largest money manager. They're on their way to being $10 trillion under management. So go ahead, knock yourselves out. Make fun of a liberal. Talk about liberal tears. Take on a social justice warrior and call him a name. You know what happens when you do that? BlackRock gets a little richer. Our economy gets a little bit more fractured and destroyed because nobody's paying attention to this stuff. Henry Ford knew it. Henry Ford knew. If the people came together and understood the big stuff, that we might actually make some changes, but we don't. We don't. And when I come back, I'll show you what happens to the average human being on planet Earth. While these elites, while BlackRock approaches $10 trillion, while the banks have bumper profits, I'll show you what happens to the average human being out there. And this one the next couple of segments will be directed directly at Thomas Dobbs. We'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Yeah, I'm kind of fired up today because this stuff is so in our face and very few people paying attention. I know a handful of people who understand this stuff. Most people, when they talk to me, particularly knowing that I host a show like this, they want to talk about how bad the Democrats are. And I understand the Democrats are just disgusting. They're insane. They're clinically insane. Not at the very top, they're not insane. They know exactly what they're doing at the very top. But a lot of people on the left have just been so brainwashed that they've left reality. I understand, but the bottom line is you better bring those people back to earth and get them to understand what's going on here. Because I don't know about you. I've been looking at, I need to get a different car. Is there somewhere that you go where you say, hey, I'm a Republican. I get the lower prices, right? I mean, is there some benefit that you've gotten from this political theater? I'm a Trump supporter. I get the good deal, right? I mean, is anybody out there saving a bunch of money? Are you knocking it down because of Trump policies or something? Am I missing something? Because I look across the landscape and I say, man, all of humankind is taking it in the shorts while these elites benefit. We've got two billionaires right now that are poking at each other about whose rocket is better. They're taking billionaire fun runs to outer space. Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson. Spending billions of dollars to take a selfie in near-Earth orbit for about 15 minutes. And Americans are waking up trying to figure out how they're going to afford gasoline and groceries. Can't even take a vacation. And we are down here fighting with each other. It's hard to watch. It is hard to watch. Here's one for Thomas Dobbs and the rest of the healthcare mafia that has focused entirely on one tiny little virus. That was the only thing that's mattered for the past 16, 17, 18. How far are we into this thing? 16 months? So check this out. While the elites, while BlackRock's approaching $10 trillion in assets, while the banks are reporting bumper profits, all due to the government's response to coronavirus, the Federal Reserve's response to the 2008 financial crisis, where they've been printing money endlessly, even through the Trump supposed good years, here's what's happening for the rest of society after COVID. Pandemic-driven hunger is already sweeping across the world. And global food insecurity is at a 15-year high. Bloomberg finally connected the dots Tuesday with, quote, international food prices close to their 2011 peaks. And it was this time 10 years ago when food insecurity resulted in, quote, waves of protest, especially in the Middle East. An emerging market food vulnerability scorecard shows Yemen, Sudan, and Lebanon are the most at risk for uprises due to food becoming more expensive and increasing shortages. Already this month, unrest has broken out in Haiti, Cuba, and South Africa. All three of these countries were already on the brink of turmoil as food insecurity became severe after the pandemic. For instance, in South Africa, about 20% of the population suffers from severe food insecurity. The president there warned Monday of increasing food and medicine shortages. Now, the thing is, of course, you know, the deaths of these uprisings, the starvations, the deaths due to lack of medications, all at the hands of COVID lockdowns because of the disruption to supply lines, just the complete breaking of the world's economy because of the hyperactive response to coronavirus from people like Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs in particular. See, they won't count these as COVID deaths. And we're seeing this here, too. We're going to have food insecurity here, too. Have you seen the prices at the grocery store? These things will happen. Supply disruptions are going to take months, possibly years, to sort out. But Thomas Dobbs can only see this one small microscopic virus. He doesn't care. I mean, I reported on this last year, not because I came up with it, but because I read the story that said that 7 million people, because of the disruption to business and shipping and everything from these freaks who sought to control the world because of one tiny virus that has a 99.7% survival rate. If you're under 65, it's about 99.9. But they focused, so hyper-focused on this virus that they destroy the entire world's economy to run away from this thing like a scared child. There was a story last year that said 7 million people were going to be at risk of starvation because of the disruptions to supplies. Due to, not to the pandemic, don't ever let them tell you, look what the pandemic caused. Oh, absolutely not. The COVID can't control anything. It's the people. It's the Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Fauci's, the Democratic governors. These are the people who caused food shortages that put 7 million people at risk of starvation. And now you've got uprisings and riots. People can't get medicine around the world. But they won't be considered in the COVID statistics, no. We won't see on MSNBC a chyron about the number of cases of, you know, people who have been killed or starved to death around the world. They won't cover those numbers. Those numbers don't matter. All we count are the people who got COVID. That's all that matters in the whole world. All of the knock-on effects of this thing, they won't even pay any attention to. Thomas Dobbs doesn't even think about that 7 million people that may starve as he rushed around like a hysterical woman trying to control a virus, which, by the way, they haven't done a very good job of, have they? I'm not done with Thomas Dobbs. When I come back, some testing started yesterday. Isn't this odd? I've lived for 53 years. I've studied a lot of stuff about medicine. You know, I do a health show. And it's very interesting the way the testing is going on now. It used to be they would test for these things up front. Moderna is starting a new test. Wait till you hear what they're starting to test for. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So, just like the banking stuff, the fact that the elites have just really raked it in over the past 13 years and really during COVID. I mean, they had a great year last year. They had a great time. The elites, the billionaire class, the donor class did great during the Trump administration. I'm not supposed to point that out, but I can't help it. I have like Truth Tourette's. I just say the things that are true, even though I know they're not great for my ratings. That's an inconvenient fact that the elites and the donor class did so well for a guy who was going to upset the apple cart and return power to the average American. But anyway, so many things are right in front of our face that we refuse to see. But this is a biggie to me. Listen to this. This is a story that came out yesterday on the Daily Mail. Here's the headline. How far are we into this vaccine program? 6 months? 7 months? I think they started administering doses in December because I remember the story about the nursing home who had no COVID deaths during all of 2020. They started their vaccine program at that nursing home on December 21st, and within a month they had 23 deaths. But we're not supposed to pay attention to that. We're 7 months into a vaccination program. Here's the headline. Moderna launches clinical trial testing whether its COVID-19 vaccine leads to miscarriages or stillbirths in pregnant women or birth defects in newborns, despite thousands of mothers-to-be receiving the shot. Isn't that strange? I mean, that's odd to me. Isn't this the kind of study you would do pre-release of a vaccine? Oh, I mean, that's so 2018, Mike. That's so 2019. That's back when they did long safety studies on these things.
Now they study them as they're rolling it out on hundreds of millions of Americans. The last I saw on VAERS, there were reports of over 700 miscarriages. There have been stories of newborn babies who were being nursed by mothers who just got the shot who have died. Here are the sub-headlines here. Moderna will soon conduct trials to determine whether their vaccine is safe for pregnant women. And I'm going to show you Thomas Dobbs in just a second here. The CDC does not recommend for or against pregnant women getting the vaccination, getting vaccinated, because they don't know. They just say, I don't know. Give it a try. We'll watch you. We'll see. Of course, they're not really watching because they're not going to want the results. That's why they've got no robust monitoring system on this thing. Hospitals don't even know how to report to the VAERS system. Pregnant women are more likely to suffer from negative outcomes from COVID-19. Other studies being conducted to determine how effective the COVID-19 vaccine is for pregnant women. Well, that's weird because all I've heard is it doesn't matter who you are, what your lot in life is, black, white, young, old, big, small, pregnant, doesn't matter, rush out and get the vaccine. As a matter of fact, I had run across a clip and I could not find it yesterday. It's either been taken down or I just did a poor job searching, but I spent a pretty good amount of time trying to find it. There was on one of the some site, and I searched my history. It was weeks ago I saw this. Well, they did an Ask Thomas Dobbs, and one of the questions was about whether or not pregnant women should be vaccinated. And Thomas Dobbs said, anyone, anyone, of course they should. That's interesting because the CDC doesn't have a recommendation on it. The WHO actually recommended against it, and then they walked that back. I guess they got a knock on their door from the pharmaceutical companies. Hey, don't forget, WHO, you work for us. CDC, you work for us, the pharma companies. But Thomas Dobbs did a video, the Ask Thomas Dobbs, of whether or not pregnant and nursing women should get the vaccine, and he said, absolutely. I did just find one story here. State Medical Officer Thomas Dobbs and State Epidemiologist Paul Byers encouraged pregnant women to talk to their medical providers and get the COVID-19 vaccine during a Thursday Zoom call discussion. This is not last Thursday. This is an older story, but it really doesn't matter when it was because apparently they're just now studying it. Well, no, it's not even now. They are launching this study on the Moderna vaccine on July 22nd. So you still got another week to wait till they even start testing it on pregnant women. Moderna will soon start testing its COVID-19 vaccine on pregnant women. The Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company announced the trial on Monday and is expected to begin on July 22nd. Scientists will observe the potential side effects the vaccine will have on pregnant women, the infants, and whether the vaccine could cause complications in pregnancy. They're going to start that study on July 22nd. And yet you have got health authorities, including our own Thomas Dobbs, who just point blank came out and said, go get this vaccine. It's fine if you're pregnant. And Moderna is telling you right now, they're just thinking about a study right now. They're getting ramped up to it, and it doesn't start for another week. While pregnant women are eligible for COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S., they are not professionally recommended to take it or not, as there is little data on the vaccine's effects on pregnant women. Well, that's weird. They keep telling us that the reason that this vaccine came out so fast was because of better technology in bringing a vaccine to market. That's what they keep telling us. Just glossing over the very obvious fact that, no, the reason these things take longer, maybe it was quicker to develop a vaccine, but the reason it usually takes longer to actually jab into Americans' arms is because you need to watch it for about 5, 7, or 10 years. You can't rush time. It's just one of those things. Now, these control freaks, they think they can control the climate. They think they can control human behavior. They think they can control all these things. I don't know. Maybe they think they can control time, too. They are so arrogant. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to see an investigative reporter or anybody at one of these press conferences ask Thomas Dobbs, how is it that you have gone on video and be quoted in print as encouraging pregnant women to get this COVID-19 vaccine. But the study on whether or not it's safe for them, their fetuses, or their newborn babies hasn't even started yet. How do you feel so confident recommending it for them? Boy, I got to tell you, it's heartbreaking to think about people that are starting a young family and to think that they would trust these people at the CDC. At least the CDC is saying, we don't know. They're shrugging their shoulders. Hey, CDC, you guys have all the answers. Should pregnant women get this vaccine? They're just shrugging their shoulders. We don't know yet. We'll see. A bunch of pregnant women are going out and getting it. We'll let you know if there's any problems. And there are. As I said, VAERS, last I saw, reported 700 miscarriages. Those won't be calculated in the COVID stats either. See, all of the deaths, the news break just a minute ago said that overdose deaths were up, I think either 27 or 29% last year. 93,000 people died of overdose deaths last year. Much of the increase is from the lockdowns, they've said. But those people, those deaths aren't cool. Those aren't sexy. They don't go into any statistics anywhere. The 7 million people who starve because of supply disruptions, because of this overreaction to a singular 99.9% survivable virus, those 7 million people, they won't go into any sexy statistics that are thrown at you. The deaths of despair, the suicides, increases there, particularly among our kids. We stripped a year of their life away from them. Those numbers won't go anywhere. It's just the cases. Look at the cases. Hospitals are full. They're reporting in other parts of the world that they're having a real boom in RSV. It's a respiratory virus, very bad on children. And you know what they've determined? This is just crazy stuff. It's almost like we warned about this. Children who were put into basically a bubble, sanitized to death, kept away from everybody, kept away from outside, kept away from playgrounds. Their immune system is so weak now they can't fight off things that they normally fight off. So now hospitals are getting clogged up with young children who have got diseases that would never have affected them this way, but their immune system is so compromised after a year of living in a plastic bubble because you need to be exposed to small amounts of disease and dirt and germs and bacteria and everything for your immune system to find its footing, to work out. But Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci put them into a bubble, and now the hospitals are filling up with these kids. Now, it is also interesting. I did see yesterday when I was looking for Thomas Dobbs' video of him telling pregnant women to rush out and get this vax. I saw headlines that said there are 10 kids in intensive care, and they're blaming the Delta variant. It is odd, isn't it, that we went through an entire year with no variants? This variant talk is only about, 2 months old? And now we're up to Delta. But it's odd that we went through an entire year, no variants. And then they roll out a vaccination program and suddenly variants. We went through an entire year where children were statistically at zero risk of bad COVID outcomes. And then we start a vaccine program and suddenly this, air quotes here in the studio, variant is attacking kids and putting them into intensive care. That's odd, isn't it? I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of that. I'm sure they'll do extensive studies to find out if these vaccinations are actually causing these mutations and this thing to start attacking children. This is amazing to see. 7 months into a vaccination program where pregnant women have been encouraged, nay, prodded, pressured to go get a COVID vaccine, they're going to start studying whether or not it's good for them or bad for them, good for the fetuses or bad for the fetuses, good for the newborn infants or bad for the breastfeeding infants. They're going to start that study next week sometime. They'll get around to it. Should be Wednesday, maybe Thursday. This is like the CDC when they found out that these kids were having heart problems from the vaccine. So they scheduled an emergency meeting for a week down the road, allowing more and more teenagers to line up and get this jab while they messed around waiting for their emergency meeting. And then Juneteenth came, and they postponed the meeting for another week. Yeah, that CDC, that's really an organization you can trust, isn't it? Kim Wade's doing a number on Thomas Dobbs in the afternoons. I agree with him completely. Thomas Dobbs should be fired, should be forced to apologize. But he won't. And I know some of our competitors will have him on air to show his authority, his intense knowledge, because he serves in the Republican administration, and we're not supposed to question that here in Mississippi. We're supposed to play the game. We're a conservative talk radio. We're supposed to back up an administration with an R behind its name. You're not supposed to question that, not on conservative talk radio. That's how they get our. That's how they get their talking points out. Not here on WYAB. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, only a few minutes till I get into Hump Day Health on the other side of this break, next break. I was listening to a podcast this morning. It's a Cheryl Atkinson podcast. She's one of the few investigative reporters still left. She's independent, so she can actually cover stories that she wants to cover that are actually important. And she was doing a story about, let me find the title for it real quick here because it matters. It's the title of her podcast. Again, it's the Cheryl Atkinson podcast, and her first name is S-H-A-R-Y-L, Cheryl Atkinson. The title of her podcast is, What would make a CDC senior scientist call the head of vaccine safety? Oh, it's cut me off there. It's something like a pathetic liar. What would make a CDC senior scientist call the head of vaccine safety, quote, a pathetic liar? And it's not about COVID. It's actually about the connection between vaccines and autism. And what it is it's a very good telling of William Thompson, who didn't really come out. He had a conversation with a parent whose child had autism after a vaccine. And he was talking to the parent, and he said, yeah, you know, we actually found studies that showed that certain children, and it's a small subset, certain children with the MMR vaccine can have autism triggered by these vaccines. The parent recorded the phone call, pretty much kind of outed Thompson, and so he released his data. He said that at the CDC, this is the organization you're supposed to trust. And this was particularly a story about black children. For all of you out there rushing out to get the vaccine and keeping your mask on because the CDC loves you. The CDC had a study that showed that the MMR vaccine was triggering autism, particularly in young black children who got the vaccine. I can't remember what it was, 36 or 72 months. I can't remember what the number was. But they had a study for this. They all got together as a CDC advisory team, met in a room, and decided that they were going to take all of the copies of this report and throw it into a trash can and hide it from the American people. The head of epidemiology at the CDC participated in this cover-up of this study. For all of you out there who say, oh, that vaccine autism thing has been debunked, I encourage you to listen to that podcast and just listen to it in their words.
But the head of epidemiology at the CDC just flat out helped cover up that they threw away a report implicating the MMR vaccine for children and autism, particularly young black children. They threw it away into a trash can, destroyed the study. Because the CDC is a vaccine sales organization. It's not a safety organization. It doesn't love you. It is there to give legitimacy, to give some kind of stamp of approval, some authority over your health. And I was having a conversation with a friend last night, and he was saying, who are these people that are rushing out to get these vaccines? How stupid are they? I said, they're not stupid. I know very smart, great people who rushed out and got this vaccine because they trust the CDC. Because they don't know that the CDC took a study about the dangers of the MMR vaccine and triggering autism in children, and they threw it in a trash can. They don't know that. So they trust the CDC. They don't know about the revolving door between the CDC and the big pharmaceutical companies. They don't know that. They don't know about the CDC scientists and the NIH, the National Institutes of Health scientists who hold patents on vaccines and earn money when these things go wide. They don't know that. They're not stupid people. They just don't know these things. And I find no joy whatsoever in the idea of this vaccine going bad, but it's already gone bad now. You know, we've been talking about this for a while, and my concern is the long-term effects of this thing, and that's yet to be seen. So hopefully it's still going to be okay. But it's not okay already for tens of thousands of Americans. Tens of thousands of Americans have had severe reactions to this, hospitalizations, permanent disabilities. And as of last count, over 9,000 had died just according to VAERS. So it's already shown that it's a problem for a lot of people. A lot of people. And you've got Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and the rest of these people judging us for our hesitancy? See, when you know the CDC throws away into a trash can, this is a literal, they're in a room and they've got a study that shows the danger of a vaccine, and they all, as a collective group, decide, we don't want to release this. Everybody hand in your copies and put them in this big trash can right here. When you know that, why wouldn't you be hesitant at anything recommended by that organization? Particularly when you can see the bodies piling up. And they treat the hesitant like something wrong with them? Like they're the ones not thinking straight? Again, it's just more reporting on an ongoing crime against humanity. I hope it does not become a tragic, tragic, tragic crime. We have a couple of years to wait.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, and it's 10 o'clock. So we get into this one segment, the recurring segment since the day I came on air. It's called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. And it's designed, it's kind of a three-pronged attack. One is to try to give you hints and tips and direct you to physicians who have woken up to the idea that the 10 pounds of food you shove into your mouth every day is just as important as that tiny little pink pill that the doctors give you. The medical establishment will tell you, well, they don't say this, that would be an exaggeration, but they don't pay a whole lot of attention to what your diet is when you come in with a symptom. They just go, oh, we've got something to treat that symptom. Meanwhile, you continue to eat the same diet, your body breaks down more and more. It's the same thing I do with my car. When there's a sound in my car, I just turn the radio up. The sound goes away. I can't hear it anymore. And so then I just keep going on my merry way. Eventually, the car breaks down, of course. I'm just addressing the symptom of the sound by turning my radio up. But that's how the medical establishment has treated diseases here. So I try to expose kind of the medical system here. I try to give you some tips for your own health and tweaks that you can make. But it's becoming more and more important, really, to kind of expose the system because a lot of people are putting a lot of faith into it. Now, I start off every show by explaining to you, I am not a doctor. I'm not a whistleblower or anything. I haven't been in the industry. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a vaccinologist, not an immunologist, not an epidemiologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm nothing. I'm not here to advise you on your health. But I read your stories, and I've got my source material here, and I always encourage people, if you want anything that I cover here, if you're interested in reading more about what I talk about, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you my show notes and the source material. And my whole point of this show is you do your own research. Nobody cares about your health and the health of your children more than you. You might have a great doctor, because there are a lot of them out there. But even he or she has got 100 patients they're seeing every single day. If you think they can really focus in on you and that you can just leave your fate in their hands, that's just naive. Even with the best doctor, they can't do that for you. You need to take control of your own health. I've got a listener, Jim, who sends me a ton of good information. If you've got health topics that you think are interesting or exposés on the medical system, also email those to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com. But Jim sent me some good stuff. I think I've got two articles that he sent me today that I think are good. One of them is about how doctors are getting frustrated with the system. This is a Forbes article. Physicians have had a rough century so far. In addition to battling COVID-19, doctors have spent the last two decades fighting the healthcare industry's fiercest players and losing badly. Power in the industry now belongs to the health insurance companies, major drug makers, and hospital tycoons. Physicians feel beaten up, burned out, and abused by a system so overrun with regulations that clinicians now spend more time filling out paperwork than helping patients. They actually have my sympathy for this. It's a shame they didn't see this coming, but they have to understand they are working for a business, and that's why Americans are so sick. They're not curing diseases. They're not keeping people healthy. The entire system makes its money off just counting on the fact, well, they're sure of the fact, that you'll continue to get sick and need them for something. And when you need them, because you're sick, that's when they cash in. And this is why there is no push to keep Americans healthy. The story goes on. Doctors long for the last century. Back then, they were paid well, revered by everyone, and largely left alone to practice as they please. As the war against COVID-19 winds down, doctors believe now is the time to demand a return to the glory days when physicians ruled medicine. To get there, doctors want more money, respect, and autonomy. They'll get none because our nation can't afford to give it to them. And this goes through a whole list of reasons why that is. But down in this Forbes article, I just thought this was kind of an interesting little synopsis of the American medical system. You will hear people say, well, we have the best medical system in the world. Very patriotic to think that, isn't it? I mean, you would think we are the wealthiest nation on the world. Well, we're the most indebted nation, but other nations have got debt too. We're supposed to be the leader, the bright, shining city on the hill. But here's some statistics on the American medical system that's here in Forbes. Examples abound. American doctors prescribe 99% of the world's hydrocodone, contributing to more than 500,000 opioid deaths in the 21st century. In addition, 200,000 Americans die each year from medical errors, 500,000 families go bankrupt from medical bills, and 30% of all medical treatments are shown to add little or no clinical value.
Research shows that the U.S. has the most expensive and least effective health care in the developed world. Did you hear that? Research shows that the U.S. has the most expensive and least effective health care in the developed world. That can't be an accident. It's least effective because the less effective they are, the sicker Americans are, and the more pharmaceuticals and hospital stays and doctor visits you need. And that is the lifeblood of our healthcare system. It's not health, it's disease. Disease is this is a disease management system. To show you the absolute corruption of the rest of the things, this is the portion of the show where I try to expose these groups to you so that people maybe wise up and don't misplace their trust in things like the drug companies, the FDA, the CDC. This is a story that was in the Washington Post. The FDA, facing intense criticism, narrows the use of a controversial Alzheimer's drug to patients with early stage disease. And what the story is about, I really don't want to get into it, but there was a drug just a few weeks ago, Aduhelm, A-D-U-H-E-L-M, Aduhelm. See, this is another one of the consequences of Western medicine. We're seeing Alzheimer's rates shoot up. Now, in a healthy society, where our medical system had kept us healthy, you wouldn't see increases in things like Alzheimer's. You'd see decreases. God knows we've got enough researchers out there, don't we? But we don't have researchers in having to stop the development of Alzheimer's. We've got all our researchers trying to develop drugs for Alzheimer's. Nobody makes any money off of you if you don't get Alzheimer's. You see how that works? A couple of weeks ago, the FDA approved this drug, Aduhelm, for Alzheimer's. Three of the advisory board members, these are some of the good doctors, one of them, Aaron Kesselheim, a Harvard Medical School professor, they quit the advisory board after the FDA approved this drug because it has shown basically no efficacy to do anything. This is your FDA that we're told to trust now, right? When it comes to vaccines, they're the ones that are going to make the determination on. They gave the emergency use authorization for the vaccine, and they'll be the ones to determine, and they will give it full approval. They will ignore the 9,000 current deaths, the tens of thousands of severe debilitating side effects. They'll ignore all of that, and they will approve these vaccines. This is your FDA. They approved an Alzheimer's drug that even their own scientists were quitting when they announced their approval of this thing, because the studies show that this thing was basically worthless and came with side effects. That's your FDA. Now, when it comes to why Mississippi is so heavily vaccinated, why there's not a peep out of our legislature protecting us from this onslaught of vaccinations and other problems like that, an analysis of state and federal campaign contributions from the pharmaceutical industry shows the industry takes a bipartisan approach to influencing legislators. In other words, it's not an ideology the industry supports, but rather their own bottom line. And this story was talking about how the pharmaceutical companies not only lobby national politicians, but also local state office holders. And when I come on this and in the political side of my show tell you to stop playing this stupid red versus blue team game, as much as you might disagree with things on the other side, realize that these big corporations, the elites, they don't care about party. Listen to the donations that the pharmaceutical companies make. In 2020, $4.5 million was donated to Democrats on the state level and $4.4 million to Republicans. That's on the state level. So when you've got these politicians here in the Mississippi State Legislature, you might want to start looking at their books a little bit. You'll find out why they don't have any problems with the 72 vaccines that are on our schedule here that parents are complaining about. It's not because they love you and they want to keep everybody safe. There's some checks involved in this. In 2020, $4.5 million was donated to Democrats on the state level and $4.4 million to Republicans. Although the industry appears to have an interest in preventing the Democratic Party from controlling the White House and Congress, during 2020, $7.1 million was spent on Republican candidates and $6.6 million was spent on Democrat candidates. And they gave 6.6 to Democrat candidates because they know that Joe Biden's not going to do anything to upset the pharmaceutical company apple cart. That is all just rhetoric. It was the same rhetoric that Donald Trump gave out. He was going to lower prescription drug prices. Never happened. So there you go. This system is designed to extract as much money from the average American patient as possible. And the best thing you can do is stop being a patient so often. Take control of your own health. I'm going to talk about organic food in a little bit and some studies, particularly when it came to children. And a lot of people will say, well, Mike, some of that organic stuff is really expensive. I feel you. So I was growing up, my kids were growing up. When I changed our diet to organic, we didn't decide what we were going to eat before I got to the grocery store. When I went to the grocery store and found the organic stuff that was on sale, that's what was for dinner that night. It can be expensive, but it is not as expensive as feeling like crap all the time and being on 9 different pharmaceuticals, going to a doctor's office visit every single month. It's not as expensive as that. It's a matter of perspective when you look at those things. I'm going to go back to another thing that Jim sent me. And it's a letter about some of the natural health doctors that I talk about on the show. I think it's worth mentioning. I'll do that when I come back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
When you first start looking into your own health and start realizing that the treadmill of pharmaceuticals and office visits and diagnoses is really getting a little annoying, it can be overwhelming. There is a lot of information out there, and not all of it is good. There's no doubt about that. It is hard to know because we don't know these people. We don't meet them. There's a lot of resources online of who has got good advice and who doesn't. And this makes it confusing and maybe discouraging to some people. What I'll encourage you to do before I get to this story is really just think for yourself. When I changed my diet and my kids' diet, I just did what I thought was kind of common sense when I started reading about like GMO foods, which we're going to talk more about today. And when I read the fact that these foods are now covered in herbicides and pesticides designed to withstand these chemicals on there, it just made perfect sense to me. Maybe I don't want my 5-year-old children eating a bunch of pesticides and herbicides. I can't imagine there's any benefit to that. So why don't I just move to organic foods that don't use those chemicals and get those out of their system? That just seems kind of common sense. What's interesting to me, though, is if you go to the American Heart Association or you go to the American Cancer Institutes or whatever, these organizations, they don't even mention the word organic. I mean, maybe occasionally, but they don't even talk about that. But it just seems to me that maybe eating a bunch of chemicals is not good for us. And I started to look at labels on a bunch of processed foods. I did a lot of foods for my kids during their first 4.5 years, and those foods came out of bags, into a skillet or into a microwave, and then onto the table. And I started reading all of these ingredients that I couldn't pronounce. It was obviously a lot of chemicals, and I said, well, that's probably not a good idea either. I'm going to give us real food. And if you just change to a diet like that, you'll improve your health dramatically. So start using your own level of discernment. But there are a lot of experts out there, and I like experts. I like to read their research. I'm not smart enough to figure this stuff out on my own. I don't have a research team. I don't have a lab. So I've tried to find people that I trust. So Jim sent me an article by a woman. Her name is Sheila Keeley. Her subtitle on her website is Eat Well, Keep Learning, Stay Active. And she does did a story that said nutrition and health, quote-unquote, experts you shouldn't trust. And I'm going to read the opening part of this. And she says, misinformation on nutrition and health seems more prevalent than evidence-based information. And it's becoming more challenging to figure out who the experts are. Misinterpreted science, cherry-picked studies, conspiracies, and alluring antidotes are the tools that many use to sell their stories. Below, you will find some of the more popular people or websites that do not provide evidence-based advice, along with links to articles that explain the lack of credibility or point out the misinformation. You will often see some of the following narratives. We've been lied to, ... Decades of nutrition research are wrong, ... She's poking fun at those two things right there. She goes on to say, I'm focusing on the more popular trends, fads, and some of the more persuasive experts, and she puts these in quotes, who cite specific scientific evidence to back up their stories. This is just a start, and a full list of sources with misinformation is beyond the scope of what I can do, but check back because I will be expanding this list. She also goes on to say, also, here is good information on how anti-science forces spread on social media. The article mentions popular anti-science websites and individuals who provide pseudoscientific health information that is widely shared. Okay. This woman is a mainstream person, and I did a little bit of research on her, not a whole lot. I didn't have time to read everything she's got. She may make some good points in there, and she talks largely about eating more plants, more fruits and vegetables, and a lower fat diet. Now, for the vast majority of people, the fat debate is ongoing. And I believe healthy fats are good for you. It seems to make common sense to me. A lot of times I have to take things all the way back to being cavemen and just figure out what the human body needs. And I just don't think there were a bunch of people standing around the carcass of something they had slayed after 4 or 5 days and sitting back and going, well, okay, definitely make sure my cut is lean. I don't need the fat. I just don't believe that that happened. So it makes sense to me that we need animal fats and avocado fats and coconut oil fat. These kinds of fats do not hurt us, and there's a lot of studies that back that up. But she makes fun of the idea that some of these natural health people point out that the nutritional advice we've been given for the last 30 years is wrong. And I think she's wrong about that. And this is one of my problems. I keep saying this because this show can probably sound very anti-doctor. It's anti-medical establishment. It's anti-pharmacological model. It is the pomposity of people in the medical field that really aggravates me, the mainstream medical people like this woman. Americans are sicker than they've ever been, and I just read to you from the Forbes study that showed that we have the most expensive and least effective medical system in the developed world. And that 30% of procedures and medications and things are shown to have no effect whatsoever. That's a lot of money in our system, 30%. It is the pomposity of the people in the medical establishment who watch Americans get sicker and sicker, younger and younger, but they don't want us to question them. They are the guardians of all good information. Yet for the last 30, 40 years, as the trends in American health have continued to deteriorate, they want us to stay with them. To not look for other people. They've destroyed their own credibility. It was not these other natural health people that come online that are suddenly getting the attention. If our medical system was doing a good job, then people wouldn't need alternative advice. They'd be happy. Who would spend time researching your health if your health is great? Following your doctor's advice, following mainstream nutrition advice, the food pyramid, which is... You know, the food pyramid is probably written by the pharmaceutical industry, too. They want to load you up and fatten you up on grains, and then as you get fat, you end up having a bunch of health consequences. They could sell you a bunch of pharmaceuticals. But it's the pompous nature of these people to say, oh, and this woman goes to the science. She calls anybody who does not agree with mainstream medical or nutritional advice anti-science. She's got a couple of people on this list, and if you want to get the list, you're welcome to it. You can research. I don't know. There's 20 people on this list. She says she'll be expanding it. I mean, anybody who gets popular, she's going to try to swat them down, get you right back into the corral of mainstream medical advice and nutritional advice. And I'll say this, too. There are good doctors out there. And if your body breaks, if you're in a car accident, oh, my God. There are surgeons that will stand over a patient for 13 hours reattaching tiny little veins in a severed arm. Incredible stuff. I mean, really incredible stuff. People that do that, that mend a broken body, I got to tell you, they've got some bragging rights. I'm going to listen to those people because what they do, they don't always do it right, and they're not all good. But there are a lot of cases, premature babies. There are babies born now that just 5 years ago wouldn't have survived. 10 years ago, definitely it wouldn't have survived. Huge advancements in that. It's absolutely astounding. They're knocking the cover off the ball there. There are good sides to our medical system. But as far as our health and our nutritional advice, and I'll give one other qualifier, too, to give doctors a little bit of a pass here. I know a lot of doctors who tell their patients to get their nutrition in line, and they won't. The vast majority of health problems in this country is from lazy Americans. Some ignorance, and I don't mean that as an IQ ignorance. I mean, people don't research this stuff. They think that if they put it on the grocery store shelves, it must be okay. If the FDA stamps approval on it, it must be good for me. And that's just quite simply not true. They just don't know. But a lot of doctors are out there saying, yeah, a lot of the diseases are driven by poor lifestyle choices. I tell my patients all the time. They just won't listen. They won't commit to doing those things. So for you people who are doing that, there's not much. You're probably not listening now anyway. Most of the people who listen to the show are actually interested in feeling better, looking better, living longer, whatever the case may be. But I know a lot of doctors do try these things, and you can't help a patient that won't help themselves. It's learned helplessness. You think there's just, you got to wait on a pill. But the bottom line is, this woman, she's got 20 people on here, but she brings up Eric Berg, Dr. Eric Berg. I play a lot. He's got just fantastic clips, in my opinion. They're 3 to 5 to 7 minute clips about all kinds of different health topics. And she has Dr. Mercola on here, too, Dr. Joseph Mercola. And I use a lot of his stuff. Here's my experience, particularly with Dr. Mercola, because I discovered him very early in the time that I changed my diet. I took a lot of advice from Dr. Mercola. And I went from chronic nagging problems, bad stomach problems, headaches, insomnia, irritable bowel, restless leg, flu or sinus problems, all kinds of things every year. Nothing serious, but all nagging conditions that I thought were just part of me getting older. I was overweight. I started reading Dr. Mercola, and I haven't had a sick day in 15 years. The medical establishment never did that for me. Mainstream nutritional advice never did that for me. So Dr. Mercola helped me, and he is very well researched. And this feels like a little bit of just pompous people, not really liking the uppity natural health people. They're kind of the turds in the punch bowl when it comes to the profits of big medicine. So you do have to be careful, and I've pointed out Dr. Mercola as what I believe to be a trusted source. You make up your own mind. Dr. Axe has got great, very easily digestible, pun intended, information that he puts out in an understandable way. And I like Dr. Berg's stuff, too. He gets into the science of his stuff. There are hucksters out there that do not deserve to be listened to. And I'm sure I've listened to some of them and been impressed by what they say, but I retreat to some of these people I like. But the bottom line is you've got to have some level of discernment yourself. And here's the other thing, too. With a lot of natural health strategies, whether it's fasting or keto or trying a higher fat and lower carb diet, these kinds of things, you'll know pretty soon if it's working for your body. And you can try it, but there aren't harmful long-term side effects. They put you on a drug or shoot you up with a vaccine that has lifelong consequences to it. And they think that that's okay. But if you tinker around with increasing your vitamin C or your vitamin D or, you know, any of these nutritional advice, these things are not, the side effects of these things are not horrific. So experiment with your own self. If you're on a bunch of medications, you may need to take that into consideration. But I'll tell you right now, this woman is not impressing me yet. If she's guiding people towards a more fruit and vegetable diet, that's great. She's going to see improvement in her patients, and that's good advice for all of us. She's right on that. but to deride everybody else who is out there trying to help people maintain their health, because all of these people I'm talking about are all designed to help you stay healthy. Here's one other thing I'm going to say about that, too, because this is a knock on a lot of natural health physicians and websites and things like that. People will say, yeah, he's got good stuff, but he's just out there selling products. I think she points this out on several of these people, that on their websites, they're selling a bunch of nutritional supplements. Well, they've got a knowledge base. They're helping people stay healthy, and they're making money selling products. Why is that different than a doctor who makes money every time you darken their door, and a pharmaceutical industry that makes massive amounts of money every time you take one of their products? Why is it that natural health people are not allowed to actually make a living? I would much rather see people get massively wealthy helping people stay healthy than I'm watching right now people get massively wealthy just managing disease. And they have to count on disease for it to happen. So there's a lot of knocks on natural health stuff. There's a lot of propaganda out there. There's also some hucksters on natural health things. You need to use your own level of discernment. You need to be an independent thinker and think what's right for you. And if you try something, it doesn't work, it makes you feel bad, then stop doing it. We're all different. You have got to kind of experiment with your health. I'm not suggesting anything radical, dumping all your meds in the garbage can tonight and just trying cold. None of that stuff. You do you. Discuss it with a physician. Hopefully you've got one that is open to you trying to feel better without pharmaceuticals. If you have a doctor who just continues to load you up with more pharmaceuticals and never talks to you about ways to reverse your dependency on these things, you may be with the wrong doctor. But ultimately, it's your decision. And it's your work to do. And I'm telling you, it pays off. If you do it, you will be glad you did. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, the segment we do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. If you're interested in reclaiming your health, that's what most people need to do. Most of us did not maintain it well for quite a while, but eventually you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And this show is about empowering you to take back control of your health. There's a story that came out in The Guardian. This just this past week, it said, unlocking the gut microbiome and its massive significance to our health. Scientists are only just discovering the enormous impact of our gut health and how it could hold the key to everything from tackling obesity to overcoming anxiety and boosting immunity. I really believe one of the reasons that Americans and people around the world in westernized countries, you see that Western countries have bigger problems with COVID, is because we have the more shiny, fancy foods that are all packaged, and we're eating a bunch of the GMO crops, which are destroying our gut health, and we succumb to diseases more easily than others. So this story goes on to talk about
The fact that your gut microbiome is so important to your overall health, the gut microbiome, this is a quote, the gut microbiome is the most important scientific discovery for human healthcare in recent decades. That was said by James Kinross, a microbiome scientist and surgeon at the Imperial College of London. He said, we discovered it or rediscovered it in the age of genetic sequencing less than 15 years ago. The only organ which is bigger is the liver. And this is just interesting to me because I want you to understand, you know, we're destroying our gut health. And we see the consequences. You know, I would really like to be able to find one thing you could really target, you know, for the increases in diseases, everything from ADHD down up to cancer, autism. I wish there was just one thing we could all eliminate from our diet. We'd all feel better. This may be one of those things that is more important than many. The story goes on to say your gut microbiome weighs about 2 kilograms and is bigger than the average human brain. It's a bustling community of trillions of bacteria, archaea, fungi, and viruses containing at least 150 times more genes than the human genome. We're filled to the brim with microbes, which form microbiomes on our skin and our mouths, lungs, eyes, and reproductive systems. Well, that was until the past year where we've been told to scrub down with hand sanitizer. We've been killing all these beneficial microbes because we were scared of this one tiny virus with a 99.9% survival rate. 99.7 if you include the elderly. But the gut is the largest and most significant for our short and long-term health. It is massively complex and residents vary enormously from person to person. According to a study in 2020 by the European Bioinformatics Institute, which pooled more than 200,000 gut genomes to create a genetic database of human gut microbes, 70% of the microbial populations it listed, 2,000 species, hadn't yet been cultivated in a lab and were previously unknown. And this is what life on Earth is. It's an, I mean, we have got, I think they said in terms of cells, we're more not us than we are us. Professor Tim Spencer, an epidemiologist at King's College in London, said, quote, it's a vital organ in your body and you need to look after it. If you do that, it will look after you. And he's talking about the gut microbiome. One of the biggest threats to the gut microbiome, from what I've studied, is our constant ingestion of GMO foods that are coated in Roundup herbicide. And I'll tell this story real quick. Yeah, I think I've got just a couple of minutes here. When they were trying to approve the use of Roundup on foods, in the safety studies they said that the reason that Roundup kills weeds, and if I butcher any of these terms, pardon me, but you'll get the gist of what they said. But they said the Roundup kills weeds by interrupting the shikimate pathway. I believe that's correct. And they said, well, humans can do this because it won't kill humans because humans don't have this shikimate pathway. So Roundup designed to interrupt that in plants won't interrupt that in humans, right? And the FDA and the CDC and the USDA and everybody goes, well, that makes good sense. I guess people can eat this stuff. Well, what they're finding out is that your gut microbiome does have these pathways. And we are ingesting, and our children are ingesting these pesticides and herbicides. Roundup is an herbicide. And it is interrupting the shikimate pathway. Again, I believe that's the right term. I'm not a scientist. And that is what is destroying our gut health, leading us to worse health outcomes, including affecting our immunity, our immune system. Interesting sidestep of, you know, harms to human health by Monsanto and the companies pushing this GMO stuff so they could sell a ton more chemicals, which they have. But Dr. Stephanie Seneff was on an interview recently, and she was on my show a couple of years ago. She is a researcher from MIT, and she did extensive work on GMO foods and Roundup's effect on our health. A fascinating interview with her. You can find her. It's S-E-N-E-F-F, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. I don't have anything in my show notes today for a long-form interview with her, but if you want to understand how ingesting these Roundup, and this is, you know, the corn chips you have that aren't organic, These things are covered up. This corn is covered up and ground up with Roundup in it. You know, a lot of tasty foods, a lot of things that have got soy in it. Something like 80 or 90% of the soy that is included in our food is Roundup ready and has been sprayed with these chemicals. The wheat in our breads, the wheat, when they harvest the wheat, they spray it down with Roundup to desiccate it, to dry it out, to make it easier to grind up. We're ingesting a ton of this stuff. But I ran across this short clip from Stephanie Seneff where she was talking about really, you know, this is largely really an American problem too. The thing you don't know, because you keep hearing this term, America has the greatest healthcare system on planet Earth. The thing you don't know is that all over the world, other countries are banning GMO foods and these Roundup-ready crops because they've already seen the damage, and their governments apparently are not quite as captured as ours are by these corporate interests that keep these things legal here. Listen to this.
Just for the record, glyphosates are that Cal affectionately know as Roundup. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yes, it's all over the food supply. It's all over the air. It's in the air, the water, the food supply. It's considered perfectly safe by the government. So they don't even, U.S. government doesn't even manage, bother to test. Actually, Canada had a big initiative, and they tested for lots of different foods, both Canadian and imports. And a friend of mine, Tony Mitra, produced a book out of that. He was the one who got them to do it. They've tested over 8,000 different foods. I was really impressed, the Canadian government. And Tony Mitra wrote a book called Poison Foods of North America. And it's a dry book. It has a lot of data in there about all these different foods. But they found very high levels, Canada did, in garbanzo beans and chickpeas, like hummus, you know.
Oh, that's so disappointing. I do like hummus.
These sort of legumes. And also, of course, in wheat and oats, cookies, you know, goldfish crackers.
Just think about that. Goldfish crackers are poor babies. How many people have, myself included, my hands up, dumped a bunch of goldfish right there in front of your child on their little food tray when they're 1 year old and just getting their teeth and starting to eat crunchy foods? And these things are full of gut-busting, gut-destroying chemicals.
And very high levels in foods from Canada and the United States compared to even Mexico. Mexico came out much more like Europe. Europe had generally much lower levels than America did. And Mexico was much better. Mexico has actually decided to ban glyphosate. They're going to wipe it out by 2024. The U.S. government and Monsanto have been harassing them to back down. So far, they have not. I'm very proud of Mexico. If Mexico bans glyphosate, it's going to be a real problem for the United States to be next door to Mexico, I think, and mildly producing glyphosate and poisoning its populations.
Yeah. Look for the president of Mexico or whoever's making the decision to get rid of it to be in a plane accident sometime soon. Other countries are banning this stuff. We're gobbling it up like candy, and I think it's affecting our health. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Last few minutes of the show. I got some good news on the glyphosate Roundup news, though. So listen up to this. I got to kind of boogie on through this story, see if I can get it in here. And this is particularly if you got kids out there. I love corn chips. If I'm trying to lose fat, I stay away from corn products. What do they use to fatten up cows? Corn. So I stay away from corn. But I do like corn chips. The difference between a bag of regular corn chips and a bag of organic corn chips is about a dollar. Is it worth it to you? maybe a dollar to keep herbicides out of your system? I say so. But particularly if you've got kids, organic food consumption among children is associated with higher scores on tests measuring fluid intelligence and working memory, research published in the journal Environmental Pollution Finds. Study conducted by Spanish researchers based at the Barcelona Institute for Global Health look at took an exposome approach to environmental exposures, looking at a totality of all environmental hazards that children encounter rather than investigating individual lifestyle factors one by one. The co-author found, just talks about healthy and organic diets are richer than fast food diets and all these different nutrients. I got to kind of get through this. Let's see. Researchers found that children who ate organic food displayed higher scores measuring fluid intelligence and working memory. Lower scores on fluid intelligence tests were associated with children's fast food intake, house crowding, and exposure to tobacco smoke. Prior research, however, helps fill in research gaps from the present study. Multiple studies have found that eating a conventional diet will increase the presence of pesticides and their metabolites in an individual's urine, including higher pesticide body burden from eating conventional foods. In fact, because of their smaller size, children carry higher levels of glyphosate and other toxic pesticides in their body. Coupled with this research are multiple studies showing that many common pesticides result in developmental problems in children. Most recently, a 2019 Danish study found that higher concentrations of pyrethroid insecticides corresponded to higher rates of ADHD in children. And what are we doing? Instead of getting this stuff out of our kids' food, we're just slapping them on a pill. There's also strong evidence that organophosphate insecticides, still widely used on fruits and vegetables in the United States, are dropping children's IQs on a national and global scale, costing billions to the economy in the form of lost brain power. On the good side of this. And here's where your action item is. Switching from a conventional to organic diet will drastically reduce the levels of pesticides in one's body, with 1 week on organic food showing a 70% reduction in glyphosate in the body, according to one study. If I had a child that was diagnosed with ADHD, I would get out some of those dyes, I think particularly red dye 40, I think is what it's called. I'd get that out of there, and I would get them on an organic diet and see what happened there. Certainly before I slap them on some drug that alters their brain chemistry. Glyphosate and Roundup. You want to help your health? Get that stuff out. That's one of your first priorities. All the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.